Please pray with me. O Lord, in you we live and move and have our being, and you are here with us now. We pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive. We pray that you would help us as we seek your face and to answer the call to abide in you. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Abide in my love, Jesus says to us. The most important thing you can ever do in your life is receive the love of Jesus. I start with that very strong statement because I think a lot of us don't believe it. The most urgent thing you can ever do in your life is receive the love of Jesus. The highest priority in your life is to receive the love of Jesus. All of eternity hangs on this. The full weight of your life and your calling and your destiny is dependent upon this. It's only in receiving the love of Jesus that our lives can really be transformed, that we can be changed from the inside out. Receiving the love of Jesus unlocks in us the power of the Spirit to truly live as a new creation that He makes us. So there is nothing more important. There is nothing more urgent. There's no higher priority for us than to receive the love of Jesus for us today, even now. Because the heart of the gospel is about what Jesus has done for us, never what we can do for him. The heart of it is that he loves you and he wants to wrap you in his love. When I was in campus ministry, I once was trying to evangelize a guy, taking him out for a beer, and I asked him, you know, what do you think it means to be a Christian? And his answer was, well, it's to love God and to love other people. That was, in his idea, what Christianity was about, what it meant. And that's a really common thought. That's a really common idea. That Christianity is all about this. If you ask people on the street, this is a likely answer you'll get. To love God and to love other people. The greatest commandments, right? That's what Christianity is really about. And it's completely backwards. Completely wrong. And in this conversation, I was able to gently offer to him what is actually good news. That the heart of Christianity is that God loves you, not that you can love him. The heart of the gospel is what God in Christ has done for us. It's never about what we can do or accomplish for him. And this distinction feels not very big, but it makes all the difference in the world. The heart of our faith is never about us loving God, but it's that God has loved us. And so what does Jesus require of us? To abide in that love. To receive that love that he pours out for us upon the cross, that God pours out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Receive. It's the only thing that's ever asked of us, and it's the most important thing you will ever do in your life. So I want to look at this language of abide as Jesus talks to us in the Gospel of John chapter 15. To abide means simply to dwell in a place, to remain somewhere, to be present, to make your home here. To draw all your strength from here, to find your perfect delight and peace here, to relax into who you truly are, because there's no place in heaven or on earth that is safer or more peaceful or more of a home for you than in the heart of Jesus. So abide in me, Jesus says, because this is what you were made for. I think the idea is really captured for me in one word that's just rest. Rest and relax in Jesus. Abide in him, because you can truly be at home in the love of Jesus. You can truly be who you are. That you can lay down all pretense. You can put away all your striving to rest in him. Abide in him. Live out of the animating power that is his love for you. So I want to look at briefly, abiding and resting in Jesus frees us from what I think are three things that are so very prevalent in our age. Frees us from striving, frees us from performing, and frees us from despairing. So first, abiding in the love of Jesus frees you from the striving of life. Frees you from the constant efforts of trying to earn your way into acceptance. To earn God's love, to earn a place in society. We strive. We work. We put a lot of energy and time into striving. Here's just one way that plays out, especially for us in the church. We're told that when we settle into this abiding, then that resting in Jesus, finding our purest selves there, then we will bear fruit. It's then, in abide in me and you will bear fruit, Jesus says. And sometimes I find myself tempted to get straight to the fruit that can be born. I want the results. How can I bear fruit so I can be useful to God and to his kingdom? I want to use abiding as a means to an end, to be useful. Because who am I if I'm not useful? I'm not productive. I'm not achieving something worthwhile. Who am I if those things aren't true? I find that I've rooted my identity and my worth in my ability to be useful to God, to the world, to myself. And this idea comes straight out of the culture of our world, not out of Scripture, not out of the gospel. But the world says you are what you do. You are what you produce. You are what you achieve. No, Jesus says, just rest. Abide. That's the end goal. Stop striving, but just receive my love. Abiding is never a means to an end, but it's the whole purpose of our lives and our callings. Abiding and resting and receiving the love of Jesus makes us more and more understand that we are not loved because of what we can do or what we can achieve or produce. We are loved because God is love. And it's his greatest delight to love you. When I first became a father, you know, this is one of those things that hits home to you when you have your own kids more. But I remember first time, firstborn son, holding him in my arms. This kid could offer nothing to the world and nothing to me. He was totally useless. Couldn't even roll over at that point. Couldn't achieve anything, couldn't contribute anything to society. Couldn't even give back to me any love that I was trying to give to him. And yet, I was enthralled with him. I was in love with him. I would lay down my life for him in a second, and he could do nothing for me. God's heart for you is to never dependent on anything you can do for him. Never dependent on any striving or effort you can put into loving him or being useful for him or being productive for him. God's love for you is never ending and never failing and not dependent on anything. It's because he is love. And his greatest desire is to pour that out upon you. Abiding frees us from the rat race of trying to earn approval in this world. We strive to try to earn God's love, to earn people's love and respect and admiration. We feel like we need to achieve in order to deserve the good blessings that God might give to us. And Jesus' command to abide shows us how very backwards we have it. You can never earn God's love. You can never deserve it. That also means you can never lose it. Because if it's up to you to earn God's love, then that means it's possible for you to lose God's love. But glory to God in Christ, that is not true. In Jesus, it is not true. The lie that you have to earn God's love, that therefore it's possible for you to lose God's love if he's disapproved with you, that's a lie from hell. It's good news that you never have to earn it, that you can never deserve it, but it's just given as a gift of grace because it gives us security. The love that's given, even when you didn't deserve it, even when you could never earn it, but simply because Jesus and his gracious heart for you pours out love in abundance because it's what brings him the most delight. This love can never be taken away from you. You can never be separated from the love of God that is yours in Jesus Christ. If you abide in Jesus, you are secure in his love. And you have nothing to prove. Nothing to prove to God. Nothing to prove to anyone else in this world. Nothing to prove to yourself. So you can cease striving. You can rest. Abide. Abiding in Christ also then frees us from performing. In our digital age, the age of social media, we are actually capable to some degree of putting forward our best selves to the world. We post the best pictures, the funniest and most wholesome moments, the most profound thoughts. We signal our virtues to the world and we hide all of our vices. We can curate the best and the most idealized pictures of ourselves to present to the world this image of who we'd like to pretend we are. We perform for the world. And not just on social media, we do this in the church too, don't we? How many of us come to church and put on a smile and pretend that things are okay when they're not? We use Christianese language that we would never use at work. We give thanks for our blessings while shoving our problems under the rug for a couple hours on a Sunday morning. How many of us at times have put on a performance of godliness on a Sunday morning in order to fit in better or to impress the people around you into thinking that you're holier than you actually are? How many of us? It can't just be me, right? Please say it's not just me. We often put on a show. We often put on a face to impress people around us, to fit in, to make it seem like we are actually better than we are. But God isn't impressed. And God doesn't need you to perform for him because he knows you. He knows you inside and out, and guess what? He loves you. When we try to put on a performance for him, showing him all of our good achievements and how good we can be for him, I imagine his response might be something like, "Bless your heart." As he embraces you in a hug, because you're being a fool, and he loves you. And his heart is drawn all the more to you, even in your foolishness. Because he wants nothing more than to be with you. He knows you inside and out better than you know yourself. All your flaws, all your sins, all of your hidden vices are not hidden from him. He's not fooled by the social media curated version of your life or by the performative virtue signaling of your righteousness. He knows you and he loves you. So just abide in him. Rest in him. Take a deep breath and accept that you are your true self before him, exposed. You can be your true self before him and relax because you have nothing to prove to him. And you also have nothing to lose. And you can have everything to gain by ceasing a performative, curated life and just receiving his perfect love for you. Abide in me. Rest in me, Jesus says, who knows you inside and out. Abiding in Christ, lastly, also frees us from despairing. Because when you are abiding in him as the branch abides in the vine and draws all its life and strength from that gracious vine, then that means hope can never be lost. And if despair is the opposite of hope, some of us have seasons of despairing when there seems to be no hope. If you are abiding in Christ, you are secure in him. You have everything that you need, and nothing can ever separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. Hope is found where you are secure in your present and in your future. Despair comes when you have no firm foundation, no security, and no hope. But we can abide in Jesus and always have hope. Now, I want to be careful here, because I think there are a lot of times it can be easy for us, in the church especially, to give an easy Christian response to things like despair. And when someone comes to us and says they're not feeling good, or they're depressed, or they're anxious, it can be easy just to say, well, stop it. Just be happy. And there are times, seasons, or even decades of depression or other mental health challenges that can make it really hard to feel hope. And a lot of times the pressure is to just gin up that feeling and to manufacture it, because why shouldn't you be able to do that? And it piles on guilt on top of the despair. But even in these seasons of depression or anxiety or other challenges that many of us do face, we can still abide in Jesus. They are not mutually exclusive. We can still abide in his love and his presence. We don't need to do more or to work harder or to gin up certain feelings in order to abide in Jesus, because abiding in Jesus is simply stopping, resting, being who you truly are before him and all your flaws and failings. I know people who have quite heroically chosen to trust in Jesus beyond what their feelings were capable of, beyond even what their minds could grasp onto. And it's a tremendous act of faith, and I honor those who have dealt with depression or other mental health challenges in a significant way and have yet held on to Jesus. But it's because of that fact that abiding in Jesus frees us from the striving, frees us from the need to perform, that it guards us then from despair, which is a lack of hope. Because the call to abide, to rest and receive the love of Jesus, means that your hope comes from outside of you, from one who is always steadfast and reliable, one who loves you no matter what. Your hope is secure and can never be taken away from you, because all you're doing is resting yourself in the one whose love fills the whole universe, even if you don't feel it. abiding in Jesus, resting and receiving the love of Jesus, frees us from the striving and the performing and the temptations to despair. But the other temptation I find is to hear this passage and for us to think of abiding as therefore one more thing we need to do. And this is a struggle for me. So this is confession time a little bit, but I imagine I'm not the only one. As a Christian, it feels like I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, love my neighbor as myself, read my Bible, serve the poor, pray, tithe, give up cussing, set up chairs in the parish hall, vote in a particular way. Now I've got to add abiding to my list. Okay, so how do I do that? How do I master abiding so that I can be the good Christian? This attitude, this temptation, comes out of this backwards view of Christianity that we need to be trained out of. At the heart of our faith, the heart of our lives is not that we love God, not that we strive or perform or feel anything in particular. The heart of faith is that God loves you. And believing that, in Jesus, God has done everything required of us. All that's left for us to do is receive Him, abide in Him, rest in Him. Abiding is not just one more thing for us to do in our Christian life. It's just stopping, letting go, trusting that Jesus has really paid it all. Believing that the love of God is the foundational reality of the universe, and that love is specifically, intentionally, and wholly for you. God really does love you. He really does love you. And many of us spend our whole lives striving or performing or ginning up emotions because we don't really believe that. And we do, when we do come to really believe this, that we are loved by the Creator of the universe, that we choose to rest in that love, to abide there, that is when transformation really happens. That is when we can be filled with the Spirit, be made new in Jesus, and a change happens in us. Then our joy will be full, as Jesus promised, when we learn to abide in Him. So this is what we need to receive. That the reality of the love of God is for you. You need this more than anything. More than food, oxygen, more than friendships, more than status, more than financial security, more than entertainment, more than social acceptance. The most important thing in the world is to receive the love of Jesus. And I wonder where you are today. Is this something you really believe? Deep down in your most tender and honest moments, that God really loves you. And that the fundamental call of your life is just to stop. To rest. There's nothing for you to accomplish or earn or deserve, but just abide. This is what we're called to believe. And believing is not just an intellectual idea, an intellectual assent to something, but it's staking our whole lives on this fact that God really loves you. But the good news of Jesus is that He has accomplished on our behalf what we could never have accomplished on our own. And everything we need for life and eternity is in Him. So all our task is to do nothing, to cease all activity, to abide, to rest in Him and in His love for us, to simply come with open hands, bowed hearts, asking to receive His love and mercy and peace which is everything that you need. This is the most important thing that you will ever do. And maybe this is a pivotal moment for you that you've never really received this before. Or maybe the weeds of the world have choked out the reality of the love of God for you that you once knew. And you need to receive again and again and again the foundational reality of our world that God loves you really and truly. This was not the sermon intended for today. I worked all week on a sermon and then scrapped it yesterday because I really felt like God wanted to speak this morning and that there are people here today that really needed to receive the love of God. And really needed to know that it's not about what you can achieve for God. It's not about what you can do for Him or accomplish for Him or how good you can be for Him. That all His call for you is to just abide in Him, to rest in Him, to receive the love of God in which you can truly be yourself, knowing that you are perfectly loved. And that's enough. So I want to ask us, just as we close, if you would close your eyes with me. If you're comfortable with just opening your hands in front of you in a posture of your body that reflects a posture of heart, of open hands to receive. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, who is the love of God poured into our hearts, would you come? Would you fill us? We are here to receive from you the knowledge that you are here with us, that you really do love us, and that is all that we need. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts and minds, even now, the reality of your gracious heart of love for us. No matter what we've done, no matter the hidden vices that are deep inside our hearts that no one knows about, you know, you see them, and you are not turned away. You are not ashamed of us. But you wrap us in your arms, and you pour out your love for us because you have paid it all for us on the cross. And Spirit of God, you bring that love to us even right now. Let me just invite you to take a minute to hear God speaking to you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.